an interesting few episodes.
It has.
Since we've been away.
Yeah. Sorry, by the way, that we've taken so long between podcasts. Well, between Volume 4 starting and all of us being very immersed in it, we also all had to prepare for HowlCon, which is last weekend, which was amazing. So now we're back to normal, non-con life.
So, if all goes well, we shall be on a much more regular schedule.
Yeah.
So, before this, we kind of binge-watched the first three episodes of Volume 4.
Plus the World of Remnant.
Mm-hmm. The World Remnants.
And the short.
The short. And all the fun stuff leading up to Volume 4. The hype train is in full effect. Whoop, whoop. I guess we kind of talk about... Should we talk about each individual episode as a section? Or what we have now as a whole? Because I feel like... looking at each episode segmented might take away from... Because it becomes more of a whole the more you look at it as a whole.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should go in order, but then we can mention stuff that happens later.
Yeah.
As it comes up.
Yeah.
Just not dwell too long on each episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what happened? I'm probably going to get lynched by the end of the first episode discussion anyway.
Lynch him up! He's an Adam guy.
We haven't killed Nick and all of his bad peer jokes, so...
It's true.
Not yet, at least.
They come fast, they come hard.
That's what she said. Alright, so yeah, we'll talk about... Do you guys want to talk about the World of Remnant stuff? Was there anything cool about that? Because we actually... just something we should mention real quick is set up a Twitter before this, and if you guys have any questions or want to follow that and see what we're doing, because I finally figured out how the Twitters works, so I'm posting a lot lately. But we actually did have someone ask a question already, which is awesome.
Considering that the Twitter's only like a couple hours old.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
I mean, sorcery for all I know.
Well, Bladeosity asked us, I'll just read the quote. I really want to know the dragon-shaped continent north of West Vale, assuming that's where Salem currently resides. And that's when we were watching the World of Remnant stuff. We were talking about that a bit, so that's a good way to start, because we, I don't know. I don't think there's any real actual confirmation what the hell that place is, but that's kind of what we all assume.
That's the evil zone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Or, Brendan, you mentioned that there is another possibility, too.
Yeah, the Dragon Continent is certainly a possibility, because, at one point in the World of Remnant, they show some settlements there, but then they're gone. So, that's definitely a possibility, but also on the map, there's one section on, the eastern tip of Anima, the continent that Mistral is on, which shows up red, and we saw in the episode episode one that Salem's domain has red ground, so that's also a possibility, but we don't really know.
Well, I just figured the Salem theory makes sense because I think that's the one section of the map that no one talks about.
Yeah, it's never been mentioned in any previous episodes or even Worlds of Remnant. Like, I even went back to, season 2 World of Remnants and there was nothing.
There's nothing. And, I mean, there's going to be Rooster Teeth is incredibly well thought out in anything they do, especially Ruby. There's going to be a reason why they've never talked about that place.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's like, there be dragons, you know? We don't talk about
that. Well, there is a reason why it's shaped as a dragon.
Because that's where I live?
Did you ever hear the story of why it's shaped like a dragon?
Tell me.
Well, there's a Waffle House that Monty and a couple of the writers, when he was kind of getting the idea for Ruby together, and... He had a napkin, and when he wiped some ketchup off of his mouth or something, it folded out, and it looked like a dragon. So that whole continent is actually a ketchup stain.
That's amazing.
Well, if the Millennium Falcon could have been inspired by a hamburger, sure, why not?
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I think it's probably a safe bet to say that that's probably where Salem lives. Yeah. Maybe there's something crazy that we don't know about yet. Maybe it's just straight up full of dragons, which would be awesome. And I'm totally sure going there.
if Kevin is the only dragon.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't. He had his little Shenlong friend in season 3.
Yeah, the like sea dragon.
Shut up. Is it sad that I'm more upset about the dragons dying than like Pyrrha?
Not surprised.
Kevin was a very like North American style dragon.
Yeah, where the Western dragon, whereas the sea dragon was more Eastern style.
Yeah,
true.
Because they're journeying to the east. Thank you, sir.
I don't get it.
We'll talk about this later.
No.
So Ruby's semblance is really developed.
Yes.
Yeah, she can, like, split apart and take other people with her.
That crazy character thing, it's just insane what she can do.
Definitely.
It's so impressive.
Now, is that her semblance as she normally has it, or is that her also unlocking powers of the Silver Eye Warrior? A little column A, a little column B?
Quite possibly.
Just what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And just to sort of like on a general note, like the art style is really good. It kind of reminds me of Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, it does.
It's very like it looks even more like a video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Than it. I remember like watching when we watched the season, like the red trailer. When I watched the red trailer for the first time, I was just like, why, how is this not a PlayStation game right now? like a Dynasty Warriors game.
Yeah.
Now one sort of exists.
Yeah.
True.
Yep.
Well, anybody else have anything else to say about World of Remnant? I know I actually, I really want to know more about Mistral. I know you mentioned that, Brendan. Like, I really.
Yeah, like.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah. And like,
you just like it because Crow likes it.
and the fact that Crow mentioned that there's lots of places to hide also sort of makes me lean more towards that Syndrome or Salem might be there, but again, who knows?
I don't know. I don't know if they could hide those giant goop pools full of Grimm in a place like that.
It's sort of a little conspicuous.
Yeah.
Also, it seems like she's trying to destroy the main cities that have the main have like the academies in it, and that's one of that's one of the academies. So
yeah, I wonder if like there's gonna be some way of turning out that these like are like sealed places that are like protecting the world. You see that a lot, like if you've seen like X, the anime X, they have to destroy all the seven seals, or the new Doctor Strange movie. For those of you who've seen it,
I've not seen it.
Seen it, and Mike, you've seen it. Yeah, it's very good, by the way, guys. Totally not related to Ruby at all, but it's very, very good.
But it's so pretty.
It's so pretty, and, like, right. Of course he is. But no, I wonder if, like, so we're going to find out something, maybe the other headmasters of these other places are going to be similar to Ozpin, and clearly he's very powerful, you know?
It probably has something to do with those artifacts that
relics relics
that were mentioned,
yeah, because that's very, very last thing that Salem says in the last episode that's out. She's like what about the relic, and it's like, what about the relic? Tell me more, please.
The relic must be in the husk of Beacon.
So, yeah, one thing I'd like, I definitely think we're gonna have the nod to Mistral being a good place to hide things.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be hidden there.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's the White Fang,
Neo.
Oh, I hope. Oh,
she could have flew all the way there on Mary Poppins style.
Yeah, she's like Pice.
She's dual wielding the umbrella and the cane. No person should have that much power.
Swatting at Grimm that are attacking from the sea.
No, down. Cute. Oh, Neo's, I can't even be madder, she's so cute.
Right?
So yeah, World of Remnant. It's cool stuff. I love that they do that. I love that they're helping create this beautiful world that we are all clearly obsessed about. It's, you know, it's one of the reasons I love Tolkien. It's because he puts such attention to detail into his world.
Yeah.
And Rooster Teeth does the same thing. And
I love all that.
It's amazing.
And yeah. Some of us just need the background shorts. Sure.
But there is that feeling of disappointment when it's just like new episode, World of Remnants.
But then you're like, oh wait, but cool.
Yeah. Well, it's just like I want new episode. Give me more.
Well, so first episode.
More.
First episode. That was so nice to have that, have everything back.
It was.
You hated the first episode?
I hated the first episode.
Really?
Now, what if you, have you looked at it more of a, if the first episode was considered the first and second episode?
Well, like, yeah, Brendan mentioned that over Facebook chat before, and if one and two had aired together, that would have worked.
Yeah, it almost feels like they were supposed to be one episode, but then they cut it up for whatever reason.
I was going to say, the first episode was 20 minutes long. Did not feel like 20 minutes long.
No, it didn't. And I'll credit them for that, but there's things like, why was Weiss even in the first episode?
She's
not there long enough to contribute anything.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
It did feel like it should have shifted straight from that end scene of episode one into the start scene of episode two seamlessly.
Yeah. It's like the first time I watched it, which was actually also the first episode I've watched without you guys.
I'm proud of you.
It was like I got through it. It didn't feel like the 19 minutes, which was great, but then they play the intro sequence. So I'm thinking, okay, great, extended opening sequence. Maybe it's just a really long episode. It was intro sequence, and then Rooster Teeth promotional end animation. So I'm sitting at home going, that's it? Thank
you. Yeah, it felt like it's weird the fact that like it was about the same length as a half hour TV show that you'd watch
on
television. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just like it felt very compact. Like by the end of it, it's just like, where's the rest of this episode?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's literally just an opening, and then it just stops.
But that's kind of been Rooster Teeth's MO since even Red versus Blue, in the fact that you watch them week to week, but they're meant to be watched as one
whole thing. Well, I think that's why I got so hooked on it, because you were like, hey, check out this trailer. And then I was like, oh, let's watch the first one. And then you left, and then I watched all the second one, and then all that was out of, like, you know, like...
Yes. Well, like, a friend of mine had the Red vs. Blue 10th anniversary box set, which had the first 10 seasons of Red vs. Blue. And every season, like, every episode of each individual season felt like one episode, like when it was properly put into place. And I feel like Ruby kind of does that the same way.
It does.
Which, so, and that's fine. And the only thing I would say there is
they gotta cut it better.
Well, frankly, yes. But even with like the finale from last season, I don't watch Ruby a whole lot, but I still got that major stuff just went down.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why I like this. Why they started with the bad guys, and they were like, ha, we won. We got a thing done, kind of introduce all the new characters, and then say where what they're all supposed to be doing. Yeah, I like that sort of as like, an intro. Yeah,
set up what the sort of conflict for this season is.
Exactly, yeah.
Like there was some good stuff there. It was just they needed more, and There was stuff that just felt like a waste of screen time. Like I said, again, there's no reason for Weiss to be in the first episode whatsoever.
The only reason why she should be in the first episode is if you're watching the first and second episode together.
But, well, and even then, you could have cut it, the first episode, like 30 seconds shorter.
Yeah.
Put all of Weiss's stuff in episode two.
Yeah.
And it still works perfectly. And also, for me, this scene with the farm boy,
Yeah. I'm really okay, yeah. Can we talk about Compost King? No, the Compost King. I love that it's totally the Compost King from Ruby Chibi. Like, you're just like, oh my god, perfect. But that's one of the biggest things I think people have been talking about on the internet. It was a little weird and it is a little out of place in the first season, but I think the first episode, the reason why they did it is so you forget about it.
True.
And then it's going to come back later on.
And you can just be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, exactly. Because they're very, very good at dropping stuff like that and then making you forget about it and then smashing you in the face with it.
See, but, the perfect... I feel like they could have hid that... this is me future thinking, like when that character gets future revealed thinking. If that character gets revealed as something else, the best way that they could have covered up that character introduction was have him witness maybe Ruby fly through the sky while chasing that giant.
I almost thought that that's exactly what I thought was gonna happen.
Even that I would have been more okay with.
Because it just would have shown how they're not in a kingdom anymore, instead of just focusing on this one random person for a minute and a half, two minutes.
No, exactly. Like it felt like he's just there.
Yeah, it felt like okay, this is going to be somebody who's going to come up in something later, but right now it has no. It has. Does nothing.
Yeah.
True.
But I have a... Like, just because that character got, like, some prominent screen time in the episode and then never shown again, it's just like, it's going to be a reveal of some sort. Whether that's the reincarnation of Ozpin, Ozpin possibly masquerading, or I feel like it might have something to do with Ozpin, or something completely different, because you had the theory of that, because he looks very androgynous in the way that a lot of anime looks, so there's a chance that the farm boy could actually be a farm girl.
True.
And it could be the spring maiden.
Yeah, I don't know. I think since it has been out a couple weeks, like, I know pretty much the main theory is on the Compost King. It's either it's Ozpin reincarnated or potentially someone who is going to become one of the maidens.
Yeah.
So.
Or already is.
Already is. Yeah. And yeah, because whatever, I don't know what the hell is going on with those eyes, but that character is going to become important. And
yeah, those are some freaking weird eyes.
Yeah.
Like, Monty always said that eyes are important.
Exactly.
Speaking of eyes, like, jumping to the third episode, Yang's eyes.
Yeah, that's something that we just...
They're not blue anymore.
They're not blue?
They're not red.
They're not red. Blue was her in her natural state. Mm-hmm. Red was her angered. It feels like her purple eyes right now is her depressed.
Yeah, it's kind of, and like, it's a very pretty color, which is a shame, you know?
And I didn't even notice it until this set of watching either, that her eyes were purple.
Yeah, no, I never noticed it either.
Yeah, no, me neither.
First time.
Like, her eyes are essentially mood stones?
Yeah. Maybe it directly affects her battle power as well.
And while we're on the subject of eyes too, just because, like, might as well lump it all together. I didn't quite pick up on this, but Nick mentioned it while we were rewatching it. Klein, Weiss's butler.
Yes.
Like, I noticed his eye color's changing, and so immediately, when I first watched it, I was thinking, like, maybe he's related to Neo. Maybe there's something there. I don't know. But then Nick pointed out he's the Seven Dwarfs. That's so cute. I do also wonder, maybe though, like, maybe there still is a connection to Neo, which would be kind of cool.
Quite possible.
But,
I just want more Neo.
Yeah, exactly. I love that they have that attention to detail on the eyes.
Yeah. It's a really neat thing to keep an eye on.
Jesus. One thing.
Here goes my theory.
What?
Well, I was looking up mood stone color meanings, and I was like, oh, maybe they actually do reflect Yang's Yang, like, if red was like anger or something, like anger and.
The mood ring colors are weird.
Definitely not.
Yeah, no. They're all based on your body heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How those work. Some of the first episode I want to bring up. Cinder mentions a name, Cyana Khan.
Yes.
The leader of the White Fang, which I would have, which I, up until now, I assumed was Adam.
Same.
Yeah, exactly.
We were all sort of led to believe that Adam was the leader.
Yeah, and that somehow, like, because, you know, when Blake's like, oh, someone took it over, you assume that it was Adam well, that's a reoccurring thing. We keep seeing, like, we saw Torchwood. We're like, oh, but there's a worse person, Cinder. Oh, but there's a worse person, Salem. Like, it's continuing very much in that tradition, which, like, I'm like, let's just hope Salem's the top of the tier for this, because, like, I don't know if I can handle any more Dark.
But, Cyana Khan sounds like the leader of the White Fangs, a female.
And that's probably exactly what I was going to bring up. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a chick, and I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how that means that there's someone that keeps Adam in line?
Exactly. And because they mentioned, like, you know, like, is the boy trustworthy? And it's like, well, Cyana Khan trusts him. So that means, because usually, I don't know, he's a very, he seems like a very angry, very irrational character, but if somebody that high up trusts him, like, he's got to have a good head on his shoulders.
Oh, definitely.
So maybe it's just because we've only seen him really interacting with Blake.
That's quite possible, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can tell that just being around Blake just pushes that button.
Where he's just like, must evil.
Yeah, it's just
must.
Like, I'll take away everything. You don't love me, I'll take away everything you love.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of the whole Salem hierarchy thing, I, in a way, feel bad for Mercury and Emerald, because they were just like, oh yeah, let's join this rebellion, and now they're way over their heads.
Oh yeah, yep. They're just like, well, shit.
Oh, they probably knew that Cinder answered to somebody, but they
didn't.
They probably thought it was more like Cinder's mind. It's like somebody that's similar to Cinder's mindset of just take down the establishment instead of, hey, we're pure evil.
Right.
You might see a face turn for Emerald or even Cinder.
Yeah,
this season.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
At least
yeah.
Emerald is going to try and right the wrongs she's done.
She even showed a bit of remorse in the tail end of season 3 when all the Grimm were destroying Beacon.
Yeah,
and you can see that she.
She's like, oh fuck! What have I done?
She didn't realize how bad things were going to be.
Yeah,
she didn't fully realize the scope of what they were doing.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, too, like, when Salem brings up, like, your power is now your weakness, so you're gonna have all these crazy treatments, whatever the hell that means, she's lost her voice. Like, a lot of Ruby character design is asymmetric. You know, like, Taiyang showing off his badass tattoo. And Cinder, she's far more clothed than we've ever seen her, which, you know, for a character voiced by Jessica Negri.
Yeah.
I was slightly upset about that. And that was her weekly Jessica Negri segment. I love her. But she, what's on that side of her body that she's covering up, you know? Like, burns, scars, like, is she getting creepy, weird, like, vein stuff, like Salem?
I actually think...
Is that what the treatment is? Yeah.
I think it was more that, like, when they said that Ruby turned Kevin to stone when she went all Super Saiyan. So maybe half of her body is
stone?
Petrified.
She hasn't really moved, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
A lot,
and that would be like
not, maybe that's
like
why she can't.
She
can't get
her
voice.
Like, because essentially, this side down is just petrified.
That's
a
really good point.
Interesting thought.
Oh, poor girl. And what is it? Like, everybody hates Cinder but me. All right.
I don't hate her.
Okay.
At this point, I just don't care.
Yeah, no, actually, I still remember that first episode. I was really upset. I was like, wait, does this mean Jessica Negri's not going to be in this because she's not talking? Oh, my God. And I was almost like, I'm going to not watch the... No. I'm going to continue watching the show. So I don't know. One point I wanted to bring up that could kind of branch us into the second episode. Anybody?
I was just saying, before we fully start going to episode two, I was wondering if I just bring up a couple last episode one things. First, can we please keep the Ruby Chibi elements out of Ruby itself?
But why?
Like, the stuff, like, just visually, the way they did the arguing over the team name felt a little too Ruby Chibi, and I enjoy Ruby Chibi as much as anybody else. I would just rather the two stay separate.
Fair enough.
That's reasonable.
I think that's probably the only time we're going to see that, too. Oh, and just as a nod to, hey, this is what we've been doing for the last 6 months.
Yeah. So plug in their own shit.
Which, like, if it's a one-and-done thing, fine. I just don't want to see it as, like, a regular gag.
Yeah, and I honestly don't think we will.
No. It's probably just one-off thing they thought would be fun.
Also, more for the benefit of the listeners, if you're like me and more of a casual Ruby fan, this is not the first episode to start with.
No.
At all!
No, it's not. It's like starting Game of Thrones in season 4. You're not going to have any idea what's going on.
Just, as a fan of Doctor Who, there are certain seasons after the first one where you can come in as a new fan just fine.
Oh, yeah.
This was not that!
I really don't think Ruby's a show that you can just jump into, though, at any point. Maybe second season, at the beginning of second season. But
you could probably skip the first season without too much issue, but anything beyond that, you're a little screwed.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to warn people, don't start here.
Yeah. So, moving on to episode 2.
Yes.
Something that kind of they mention in episode 1 and we see more of in episode 2 is when they're asking when Salem tells Tyrion to continue his hunt for the Spring Maiden, or to who was it?
Stop the Spring Maiden hunt to search for Ruby.
And all that kind of thing, and the scene where you see that village in the second episode all blown to crud, and they mentioned that it was humans first, not Grimm, but the Grimm came afterwards. And something we were talking about while we're watching it is maybe that's him.
Well, that's what I seen somebody say, that the emblem that's on the ground that Ren and Nora see is Tyrion's emblem, which I don't remember seeing Tyrion's emblem myself.
I haven't seen it either.
But that would just kind of be like, okay, that's their villain that they're going to be attached to.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, okay, it's going to be Ruby and Salem, Cinder and Jon.
Yeah.
Nora and Ren and Tyrion. And probably Blake and Hazel, considering that he's going to talk to the White Fang.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
And can we talk about their reaction on how that sort of alludes to that might be what happened to make them orphans?
Because Nora and Ren totally recognize that.
It's either...
When do you see Nora frown like that?
It's either...
Well, the thing I loved here was that when they first get to the village, it's Nora who's going, oh, shit.
And Ren just walks right past everybody to look for survivors.
Because... That's Ren, right?
Now the question is, are Ren and Nora orphans because of this bandit thing, or were they a part of it at one point?
That's an interesting thought.
Because Ren,
they might have gotten taken in by them.
But that's
could be.
Like, it really, because Tyrion seems like if he's the leader of this bandit group, he seems like the type of person that would kidnap children.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh
get,
god.
Get my candy van.
Crazy.
Candy van man.
Yep.
I don't know, I'm leaning more toward victim just because I'm just thinking anything that's serious enough to make Nora quiet and somber. She's flashing back to something.
I'm flashing back hard. I don't know. I actually, and one thing too, I really like that we're finally seeing Ren come out of his shell more, and
a lot more dialogue this season.
Absolutely.
I feel like that comes to, I chalk that up to Ruby Chibi more than the rest of this, because it felt like, it felt like even though Ruby Chibi wasn't canon in any way, unless they wanted it, want something to be canon, it felt like Ren had actual character development in this offbeat, non-canon spin-off series, because he got way more dialogue than in any other season. So moving into that, it's just like, oh, I get Ren a little bit more now. He's not just the quiet one.
He doesn't need to say much.
Exactly. He's the quiet one that makes people do dance steps.
Yes. Well, I gotta figure Ruby Chibi, if nothing else, it lets the writers experiment.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, they clearly had a lot of fun. Yeah. And whoever wrote the subtitles, kudos to you, because you clearly had the best job with the entire
thing. I'm it.
It's so good. So what else from episode 2 that was cool?
Well, there was Elder Schnee.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. They remembered how to tell a story.
I want to punch Bryce's stupid, stupid dad in his stupid mouth.
Yes.
Also her pompous brother.
Yeah.
It seems to be, even though he has not done anything
to
warrant a slap in the face, he has that face that looks really slappable.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I don't know why I hate you, but I do.
if he'd
slap him on principle.
If he didn't already have a name, I would think his name would be Randall.
Or like Malfoy.
he reminds me of Randall from Recess.
Yeah.
Like, just go and tell the teacher.
Just like, he knows he's the favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I feel like he knows
I don't even think just he knows he's the favorite. I think everybody knows he's the favorite.
Yeah.
Considering that if you look around, the pictures that don't have the family in them just have him in them.
Yep.
And also, like, how snotty he was about, oh, mother's been drinking in the garden, you know? Like, and, like, I really do want to see their mom. And I don't know. I know we were talking about this. I think it
drunk
might have
mom.
Been at the Ruby panel that Nick hosted at HalCon this year about how I wonder if why Winter hates Crow so much, just because she's a really bad influence on their mother.
Yeah.
Just, like, shows up, like they're trying to get her sober, and he's just got his flask and his scythe, like, been like, hey.
Yeah. I kind of picture her being, like, Mallory Archer, basically.
Oh, she's exactly Mallory Archer.
I only have one glass of wine. It's in a big gulp.
It's only one glass.
She's just got,
I totally have one of those.
She's got one of those wine glasses that just is the bottle.
Yeah.
Also,
show you guys my leader one.
There are no good mother figures in this show.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Because Summer's dead. Raven's fucked off.
Raven's gone for smokes.
Yeah, Weiss's mom is an alcoholic.
Is there even any other mothers? Like,
not that we've seen yet.
Is the mother of dragons?
Maybe. Jakes.
We're probably going to see
who's probably
mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I feel like actually probably soon, because John was talking about how his family vacation, we might get to meet his family soon. And I have a feeling that his mother's probably going to be pretty cool. I really hope that we're not going to end up getting to his village and it's going to be the same as that other village, because that will be like the most heartbreaking thing, because I really, really want to see John's sisters breed
his
fucking
seven,
hair.
His seven sisters?
Like, I would be heartbroken, but I wouldn't be 100% surprised, because it's Ruby.
Well, that's immediately
up until they made Klein essentially the seven dwarfs, I was totally going to call John's sisters were the seven dwarves.
Ah, that would have been
because they said he had seven sisters.
Yeah.
Maybe there is something to that.
Maybe.
Maybe his sisters are the Seven Kingdoms. one sister represents each house.
Oh God!
Maybe each one of them represents a different seven deadly sin.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting.
That could work.
And yeah, but they all. But it seemed. Dude. But it made it sound like they all like to braid his hair.
Dude, can you imagine? Like if the one of them was lust and she started hitting on Ren, and then wait for it. Nora's reaction.
Oh, yeah. That would be priceless.
Oh, I want to see that so bad now. Rooster Teeth, are you listening?
you come to the... Nora has to come to the road on whether or not she's like, Ren, notice me!
And, like, no, like, either that or she's just going to go Super Saiyan and destroy bitch. And it would be great.
I could see that. Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, but did Weiss's brother remind anyone else of Daenerys' brother on Game of Thrones?
Viserys? Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's just the way they drew him, but there was something that just made me go there as soon as I saw him.
You know what it probably is? Viserys often did hold his arm behind his back, I think. And so did... that's also, I think, why he immediately is untrustworthy, because he's hiding part of his body behind his back.
That, yeah. You know? Then that's actually very... Yeah. Common villain trope.
Exactly. Okay. So anything else for episode 2?
We want to just talk? That it was everything episode 1 desperately tried to be but couldn't do it.
Yeah, it definitely felt like 1 and 2 should have been played back to back.
Again, oh yeah.
Yeah, the dust embargo.
Yes,
good point. I had an interesting thought about that. It could potentially come back to bite them in the ass.
True.
Because if Haven falls and they don't have the resources to protect themselves, then they're not going to be too happy about that.
And guess what they're going to have to rely on? Robotic armies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. See, the question is Salem's plan for the other schools as intricate as it was for Beacon, or was that just because of Ozpin?
Yeah, that's
good
true.
Question.
Probably just because of Ozpin, because I've been getting the sense that Beacon is really, really central. Mm. Like how as soon as Beacon went down,
all their communications.
Basically, yeah, no village could talk to anybody else.
Well, like, that's how the system was designed.
Yeah.
If one big tower falls, the whole system falls.
I don't know if that's smart or not.
No.
I'm leaning toward a definitive no.
Yeah. The sarcasm. So yeah, episode 3
was surprising because I didn't think that we'd even get a look at a robotic arm for Yang.
No,
until...
yeah.
That's something we've talked about on this podcast a bunch, because we were like, we're very concerned about Yang's arm.
Like, I figured that it was going to be, like, I figured episode 4 is probably going to be very Yang heavy, because episode 1 was very Ruby heavy. Episode 2 was Weiss. 3 was Blake. It only makes perfect sense, even going in color name.
Yeah.
Itself,
yeah.
That the next one's going to be very
Yang
heavy.
But then they threw in pretty much all we need to know
exactly.
So far for Yang in that one.
She still has the PSD.
PSD.
There's a T in
PSN.
There.
PSN. PS Vita. That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
She still has the PSD.
PTSD.
My brain's... I've been up for 26 hours.
Dear God.
That would do it.
Yeah.
Welcome to my life.
I didn't even realize it was that late. But,
don't worry, I'm here to fill in the blanks and make fun of you while I'm doing
it. Yeah, it's my PSD.
Say with me. PTSD.
Well, that just makes me think that Yang might accept the arm for episode 4, and it'll be the story of Yang, like, coming to terms with the loss of her arm. Finally.
I don't think that she's gonna. I think she's gonna have that inner struggle of putting it on, because I feel like if she puts, this is just me putting myself into the character. I feel like if she tries to, if she goes to put it on, she's essentially saying yes, this defeated me type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's it She's a very she seems like a very prideful person, but she's so broken right now that it's hard to get a read on.
Yeah.
And also, like, in the promo art for the season, she doesn't have a robot arm.
Yeah, she just has the stump.
Well, I wonder if she's going to learn how to fight without it.
Well,
yeah.
If we can judge from the intro sequence, then it's entirely possible, because it shows her essentially fighting her two-armed self, which is sort of her trying to fight her inner demons, I would assume.
Which is, like, actually, it would be pretty cool, too, to have, like, someone who has an amputated arm still be as kick-ass as everybody else.
True. Mm-hmm. So she might just
fly. But not only did they show, like, when they showed off the new outfits for the girls, not only did they show Yang's, like, hang around the host attire that she's in now.
Yeah.
Like, there's the promo art where she has this badass, like, duster, and she has, like, a cap where her arm was.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
Which looks super cool.
She does. So it makes it seem like she probably won't have the arm, or possibly just use it when she needs it.
I could
see her eventually accepting the arm. If they do it in episode 4, way too soon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, way. It's definitely gonna be
I was surprised that they brought it in so soon.
Yeah.
Oh, I could see bringing it in now. If they're gonna put it on her, don't do it until the finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe even next season.
Even that. Yeah. Otherwise, you're blowing a lot of storytelling opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I could see if they try to put it on, like, if she tries to put it on, then she could possibly just get so furious that she breaks it.
Yeah, what if she tries to punch something and it can't handle it?
Trying
that'd
it
be
on.
Awesome, actually.
I'll go with that. Trying it on, say next episode,
versus accepting it?
Yeah.
Two different things.
Trying it on and then, like, hating it because it's not her arm,
mm-hmm.
and just, like, throwing it under the bed or throwing it out the door or something.
Yeah. Like, that's another thing that we're just, as long as they take their time with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I ask.
Yeah.
So, Blake and Sun.
Sun's out, guns out.
Of course he was following her.
Oh, yeah.
They work really well off each other.
I can't wait for them to, like, for Blake to finally admit that. Like,
Team Eclipse.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Their semblances pair so well. Like, we're talking about, like, how, like, it's, like, a shadow clone versus, like, a light clone. Like, they're, like, two sides of the same coin, and that's why they work so perfectly together, even though they killed my baby. For the record, I really like dragons, guys.
They killed your baby, and chances are that ship is going to kill everybody's baby. Because
I just point out the dragon being killed by a ship?
Right?
The irony right now.
Yeah. Also, Bumblebee.
Bumble- I can't wait for Sun to meet Blake's family.
I can't wait to. If the intro is any indication with, like, who's presumably Blake's father shoving him, I'm just going to be like, oh, yes, this is going to be beautiful.
I feel like he's going to be an overprotective dad, and daddy's little girl, even though she's like, shut up, Dad. I'm going to go listen to Linkin Park. Like,
don't go through my journal. God.
But her, if that's her mom also in the opening, like, she looks so, like Blake, but probably not attitude-wise.
Yeah.
Although, you know, the mother's going to be the one that runs the show.
Oh,
hell yeah. Come on. And hopefully she's...
Tiny woman, huge guy. The tiny woman wears the pants.
Oh, well, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sorry.
It's gonna be an interesting... Like, we just keep getting more questions. For every one answer we get at least three questions. And... we're not going to get anything until at the very earliest the season finale.
Yeah. And they'll probably give us a good chunk of something in the middle middle of the season just to keep us satisfied. And I'd be
the Raven stuff.
I don't know, guys. I'm still waiting to know more about Raven. Why? Like, tell me more. I love that character. I love her character design. Like, tell me more, please. Time to go.
Anything else we really want to touch on?
When Sun asked Blake, why not just, like, work it out with your friends, your team? She completely dodges the question.
Oh, yeah.
Because she promised Weiss that she wouldn't do exactly what she's doing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of get it, because, like, she probably sees it all as... She probably sees Adam as her fault.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be Adam's personality, Adam's, viciousness, Adam's clinginess, she probably feels part of it's her fault. And what happened to Yang, she obviously feels is her fault.
Yeah.
Because I feel, like, even looking back at that last episode, where Yang gets disarmed, Blake shoots at Adam. He blocks it with his sword. His sword absorbs energy. The next thing he does, cuts Yang's arm.
Yeah.
He technically used Blake's
energy to
cut off Yang's arm.
Yeah.
Which is so sad.
So sad.
Well, there seem to be Grimm coming around, so we should probably wrap this up.
I think we should move to another hidey hole.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing that we got a little bit of training before the school blew up. Well, and to once we make it out of here alive, we'll let you know via our Facebook or our Twitter. You can find it at Beacon AV Club on either of those lovely social media sites.
Make sure you check your scrolls.
Check your scrolls, bitches. Well, we've been the Beacon AV Club. Thank you all for listening.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, take care.
Till next time.
Send us cookies.
We're serious about that. Please!